Winston Workshop, April 15th, 2024.
I don't want to do that. How you doing, Thomas?
Good, getting anchored in here.
Oh, really?
Looking forward to this.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, that's speed limit.
It's fine. Are you geared up?
Yes, I'm well posted.
Got everything you need?
Yeah, just go fast. You can, like, you can drive.
Looking forward to you doing your thing. So. We'll be here.
I was asking Andy here if that's my exit. It's the fastest way out of here.
That, you'd have to run that way. Dory would probably block you that way.
Like,
we want to hear the rest.
Yeah. No. You need a Green Bay sweep or a wedge to get out of here.
You're not going to need to do that. We got.
Yeah, I think that obviously you've been communicating.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With what's going on. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, really, I just want this to be a discussion. It's early. This isn't done. It's time to have the catch-up chat.
We're at that point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that
myself. We are at that point.
There is a little silver lining stuff.
That's right. Cool.
Welcome everybody to our workshop. We're going to have a discussion about our wastewater spring study. C. Lorad Engineering is going to be doing that for us. And this is C. This is everybody.
Hi everybody. Thanks so much. Thanks everybody for coming. So we all know that the topic of rates is popular in this area, especially in how the water site developed recently. It's a similar project, but specifically at the wastewater side of things. And why would you do a rate study? The big question is, do you need to do this? What's it for? And really the point is to take a deep dive look at our financials, take a look at our capital projects that we know are a problem or could become worse of a problem, and kind of plot the future out. I had one question at one point. If you have a list of capital projects, you know, let's just do the one at the top, or you know, let's just start working on the projects. That's not a great approach because you have limited resources, you have limited time, you have limited money. What are the key things? And so that's really what we set out to answer with the rate study. And we're going to talk through that in detail today. We have about 45 minutes. I just want to prime this. This is the team has worked really well together, Chris, Civil West, of course, all city Winston staff, to really just take a fresh look at this without a lot of bias and just look at it from the bottom up. And so we're going to talk about that today. We have 45 minutes. We're not done, but we felt that it was the right time to get together and start talking about where the numbers are rolling up, what kind of projects are we talking about, what kind of dollars are we talking about. I didn't want to, when I do these, I don't like to talk, what's the number going to be in? The number can be what you decide you think it's to be for the right fit for the community. But we want to sort of help everybody understand how you answer that question. And then we need your guidance at some point on how to implement that, where to go, how much, when. So that's sort of where we're headed. And please feel free. I'd rather be a conversation. There's a lot to get through. I'm going to blow through some of this a little bit quickly just because it's documented in the paper. You probably read the slides. So I like to make this point that what a rate study is not. It's not a perfect plan. It's not some stake in the ground. It sets out a relatively broad, achievable plan if a whole bunch of things are true. And so we try to, like, if we can make that happen, it gives us sort of like a stake in the ground to say, is it a little bit more of this or a little bit less of that? Does the time shift a little bit? So for us, our goal is to set out sort of a five-year plan based on 3 years looking back in the past and sort of saying, how did that go? And then looking 5 to 7 years in the future and sort of thinking, like, this looks like an achievable plan that we can accomplish if these sort of things happen. Here's my bag there. So here's some of our key objectives. I don't want to just read the list, but really we're trying to answer the question of what the next 5 years should look like or could look like and really have a conversation about really how that should go. At the end of this, we'll all decide, council of your team will decide what makes the most sense, how to implement this, and then the team will sort of hit the drawing board one more time and finish out the plan, and really that'll be sort of a guidebook for really your budgetary process and your rates over the next five to 6 years. Yeah, one of the key things, I'll keep bringing this up. Everything costs so much, and it's only going to be more expensive. And one thing I like to do is, that can be kind of overwhelming at times. So one key theme of what we're going to propose is that we get ready to go get money. The DEQ grant, the $4 million loan was the $2 million. I mean, $2 million is a lot of money. It's all a lot of money, but if we can get ready, you wouldn't have been able to do that if you weren't ready to go ask for that money. You say, I want $4 million, and then they say, for what? And you're like, I don't know. We're not ready to ask for that yet. So the plan is to sort of enable us whenever possible to get ready to seek funding. So we're not intending to fund everything out of rates. So.
How many of those can we go for a year?
Thomas probably knows more about that than I do at this point, and probably Mark. I think the answer would be, like, we're not 100% sure. Would that be a good way to answer that?
I'm going to take that.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the program through DEQ may have some intricacies there that prevent us from going every year, but maximum it's going to be one per year. That's given if we can handle the debt service. This time it's a little less than $90,000 for debt service to take care of the $2 million.
Per year. $90,000 per year.
And raising our rates to 4304,
which
we're already at
4306.
So we're going to try to give you little rules of thumb. And we'll do that kind of throughout just to give you sort of a gauge. But $4 million loan with $2 million forgiveness. So basically a $2 million loan is about $70,000 in debt service per year. Like, well, that sounds like, that doesn't sound so bad. If you raised your rates about $5, that would get you somewhere plus or minus, but say $120,000-ish for every $5 you raise it. That sort of eats up that $5 pretty quick. But anyway, just to give you sort of a gauge, $5 would be that much. Debt service on $2 million would be about $70,000 a year. So this is just an example. I like to bring it up just because we're trying to help everybody understand, mostly the public, about really what are the problems. What are we talking about? I mean, people can understand a roof and a house and a building and your roof needs replaced. And this is just a good example with the community center. Roof was leaking, there were some black mold and issues, we need to fix this now, but what do? We don't have money, how do we solve this? Thankfully, there was some ARPA money. If you defer that project, you know it's going to get worse, and it's going to cost more, and it costs more later anyway. So one of the overarching goals of this would be to get us more off our heels and a little bit in a more proactive stance on like the community center roof. Now we don't have an escalating problem that could become much more expensive. Another key thing to that is when those things happen, now your plan gets thrown off. So if you had $200,000 to do a project you intended to complete this year, it's really important, an emergency happens, well now you're not doing that one either, and that risk gets sort of pushed off. So you'll see that theme kind of show up over time as well. You see the system map? I've got an updated version. Oh, I've got a large one if anyone wants to look at it. This is sort of a collaborative effort that visually illustrates a pretty intensive, iterative process for what are actually the capital projects. I'll show you what that looks like, this list of projects. There's way more work than you can do. So what we decided to do at the beginning, rather than this is priority 1, 2, 3 projects, it's are we going to touch these projects? Let's make a list of the projects we know we need to touch in the next 5 years. And anything else goes into this separate bucket. We're going to try to narrow in on the next 5 and kind of hone in on that. And we're showing that in sort of these dark bold black. The red are known issues. We'll show you what some of those issues look like. But those are the ones that we're sort of not touching, at least right now. The plan could change. But the black ones are the one, I know it's not perfect to see, it's a little hard to show on this exactly the best way to show this. But anyway, we've got... Wherever you see these bold dark lines, those are the ones that we're going to show on the list that are highlighted in red. Those are the sorry for all the colors, but those are the ones we're going to focus on specifically. So you can kind of see where they are in town. So we sort of talked about this already, but we have leaky infrastructure. And you can show you flows if you're interested. We're seeing many times multiplier of flow, total flow in the system compared to dry months versus wet months. That means leaky pipes. So your water, why is that a big deal? Well, all that water coming into the system has to get pumped. It has to get transferred all the way over to the wastewater plant, and it has to get treated. And that also sizes your system. So imagine when wastewater improvement comes down the line, you're going to hydraulically design, I think, to handle all this water that's coming in the pipes. And we'll show you some pictures of what it looks like. So another key aspect, like how do you prioritize? One of the key things is the risk level and the potential or the side effects of thing of a project if it were to fail. So the siphon you've all been hearing about and you've been working on for a long time is a really big one. Imagine if that failed. It would be very, very, you don't even want to think about it. It'd be so bad. Not all projects are like that. Some are like, yeah, it's a problem. Let's get in there and work on it. Some have other challenges, but that's generally how we look at, yeah, how does this project get on the list? Where is it in that priority list? And then, you know, there'll be some decisions and some back and forth iteratively, and that'll continue on in the future about how do we prioritize that and make sure we address it and make sure we stay off our heels and try to address those really bad ones that could have a bad outcome sooner. We'll show you some pictures now. Pictures of... Here's a good example. Here's a good list of the kinds of things that you can do. You got a system that has a bunch of potential issues with it. Megan and Andy and the team have been using television camera to record basically the whole system wherever possible. A lot of that has not been viewed yet, just wherever possible. We'll show you some pictures of that. Not all problems are equal. Some could be structural and the line needs replaced. Some could be spot repaired. And really, there's this menu of things you can do, but this work that the team has been doing helps to inform this larger plan. Like, how bad is it? If you have a line that's concrete and it's structurally not sound, imagine if that collapses, that'd be really bad. Some lines are in good shape and you can line them, and you don't need bypass pumping in for as long, and they're an easier fix if you can do it kind of in a measured way. And so, anyway, there's this sort of menu of fixes that we can apply. You really will want to drive down those leaky pipes, basically, and take away those risks for things that if they fail, would be really bad. This just talks a little bit about the benefits. One of the things to remember, we don't want to forget the wastewater treatment plant. The wastewater treatment plant is an extensive industrial facility that takes a lot of time and energy to maintain and to improve and to meet regulatory requirements. That's going to go on for the future. I'm imagining a 5 to 10 year process where the wastewater side is going to be working with DEQ to figure out what the future might need to look like. We don't know what that looks like yet. But Winston at this point is on the hook for 50% of those costs for projects and for O&M. And so if we leave I-9 like it was and we designed the wastewater plant, it'd just be way bigger and way more expensive. So there is a payback, and it may not be like a normal business ROI, but if we can get projects taken care of, if we can get the big ones and we can reduce inflow and infiltration into the sewer system, get the flows down, now we're building a smaller wastewater plant and everybody wins. That's sort of where we're headed. The long-term objective here is to get ahead of that. One other thing, at some point DEQ is going to say the wastewater thing happens, and it needs to be $10 million, they're going to say, well, what have you done for your inflow and infiltration? And you're going to say, here's all the stuff you did, versus having a problem there. Here's some images, just some general sampling. Megan provided this. I just wanted to give you a couple. You can kind of make your own judgment. We all know what pipes do, but some of these are worse than others. But you can imagine a structural concrete pipe. That's not obviously good. That's just very leaky. Is it structural? I don't know. But basically, when the system's all mostly surveyed and we have these groups projects, there's some of those being designed right now, you'll know what fixes to apply. And from that menu that I sort of talked about, you try to lump those together because when you have a contractor mobilizing in, it's a lot more cost effective to come in and do a lot of that kind of work while you're at it, which, of course, the loan is a good example of that. Let's get that done in a specific chunk. So these are the kind of things when you see the little red lines on the map, these are the kind of things that they don't all look like this, but this is a general sampling. We've got leaky pipes, we've got offset joints, root intrusion, and if some of these, they've been fine for a long time and they just leak, and some of them need replace.
Seeing,
yes.
If you may, would you point out the picture in the lower right-hand corner there, where you actually have the structure missing from the pipe itself?
Right here. And, you know, this, maybe you'd know better than I would, but this to me, from this image, looks like you've got a pretty serious structural problem.
Is that your neighborhood, Dave?
No, actually, no. I know it's not yours because you don't have sewage anyway.
I just tell them about my hill.
No more eating at Taco Bell.
Well, if you get some sinkholes, you know, in town, you might just might call Andy and the gang and say, is this a sewer problem or is this something else?
And so basically what you're saying then, that with that type of pipe, is it very likely we could have leaking sewage? I mean, big time.
Well, all three of those.
Yeah, and so you have an idea of roughly how much of that system is affected by that bad degradation?
That is a really good question, and the answer is sort of yes and no. So let's say it depends would be the answer. So in the wintertime, say groundwater levels are pretty high, that water pressure's wanting to come in the pipe, so you're probably not having exfiltration of that material out. Let's say it's really, really dry, and you've got this going on, and this is, you can see the lines in the pipe too, you've got just a little bit of flow, it'd be seeping into the ground.
So basically it's the dry months that creates the most contamination.
I think it's kind of all the above. It's all the above, and you wouldn't really know anyway. You probably do have some, you do have exfiltration. Is it a problem? I don't know. And I don't know how you'd measure it, but it is a good question. I mean, it's another reason why this is not good. You just want to eliminate leaky pipes, water can leave those pipes as well. Are you talking about an environmental concern that you need to address? Like, and you'll see that often. You'll see an overflow, but you'll see, oh, some green grass over here. Where's why is that grass green? And sometimes you'll find a leak that's just been kind of finding its way out. Generally, though, with pipes, they're installed when they were put in. It's going to probably mostly contain itself, you know, in that zone. But you know, if you've got gravelly soils, does that water find its way out somewhere? It could. So the answer is we don't know, but it is some combination of all those things.
Is it possible then that we could have some, to the extent that it's compromised enough, that we could have some DEQ problems?
That's another good question. You know, you guys can jump into this too, but in my view, I think DEQ is really, really happy when you're doing something about it. They've got bigger fish to fry and be picking on. This is every town in America. This is not just you. This is everywhere. So do we want to fix these things? Yes. DEQ supports that. Do we have an environmental problem? Probably not. We wouldn't be able to detect most of those. If you do, you should fix them. You know, it's the world that Andy and the gang live in. You know, when things happen, you know, you don't always see it. So I hope that answers your question, sort of. But it's a good one to keep in your mind as we talk about these things.
Seeing if I may, with the depth of sewer lines in comparison, say, to water lines that aren't necessarily laid on grade like sewer lines are, and because of the time, over time, the compaction around that pipe is pretty darn tight. You're not going to see a lot loose leave that area unless it fails completely. Then it will come to the surface, and that's when we deal with them. But that concrete pipe, we have miles of that stuff in here in the system, and the gases inside that pipe just eat the cement right out, the lime leaks the lime, eat the cement out of the concrete line, and it just deteriorates to that point. We have other pipes that are made out of asbestos cement, which is a combination of asbestos and cement, mixture, and it's the same thing in those pipes, only those pipes don't have the structural strength. As they weaken, they get soft and soggy. So, you know, we see all these things. Does it come to the surface? Probably not. As Sheena said, it's going to contain the large majority of it by far. You're not going to see, we would have seen these problems all over town if they did. So, but they're coming. And the real fear is them caving in, sinkhole, and then major disaster. So that's the real
thing. So Translite pipes, which is the asbestos concrete stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is the majority of that burstable, or is the majority of that stuff we're going to have to dig up and replace? And then when we dig up and replace it, what do we do with the asbestos?
Well, and Sean can answer that question probably here pretty quickly, but the reality of that is bursting we could do in every pipe, but we're limited based on the number of connections. If there are a lot of side sewer laterals, we got to go in and dig those up anyway and reconnect them to the new line. So bursting is usually a really good option when you don't have very many side sewers, like trunk lines. The line running to the siphon, for example, doesn't have a lot of side sewers. Those are the kinds of lines that you can burst on Abraham, for example, where we don't have very many connections. You can be successful bursting those. But it's really a combination of all those techniques, from straight dig, you know, new lines in the ground. You know, it runs the whole gamut.
Yeah, there's sort of a matrix of, you know, the little menu of options thing that I talked about earlier. And really, you could use any of those, but I think when you with the footage that we have informs that. And then it's not just what's in the ground and what the pipes look like. It's also, if you're going to burst, you need to be bypass pumping this whole time while you're doing that operation. So bursting is also potentially a good option when there's just nowhere else to put that pipe. There's you got gas over here and you got water over here and there's just nowhere else to put it. So I think there's, and if you sort of took those menu of fixes and you rank those from like most expensive to least expensive, bursting's probably pretty expensive. Sometimes you want to build a whole new line. You just trench it next to it and build it at your leisure, and then you tie it in at the end with a short bypass pumping, which is a lot cheaper, less bypass pumping. So that menu of options sort of gets played out when you pick which ones you're going to do, look at the video footage, you get as much information as you can, and you sort of pick the right menu with all those factors considered to scope the work.
So to answer your question a little bit also, Dave, on the what we typically do when our staff is out doing an inspection, for example, the center line is a terracotta connection to a concrete main line. And what we do is we'll inspect that, Megan will have the staff out and inspect, determine that there. So we would, that's probably one of the bills you may have seen. I know you're pretty good on seeing some of these lateral things that come through. And when you see those lateral ones, that's one of the ones we've tried to hit. If we can determine that, hey, this is bad, we have, you know, something getting in the ground, we will address those in-house, whatever we need to do. That one on the far bottom right, I believe that's our next project. That's up on Darrell. So that's one of the ones we've targeted, but that's on the shoulder. We can't really, so we're monitoring that one. So it's not like we do these and forget about them. So we'll monitor them, we'll keep an eye on them. One of the difficulties we have a pipe lock system, which is we can internally go in there, and there's a ratchet system that'll do a repair. But the problem we have on that, for example, is you have to have the hose pipe has to be in good enough shape to be able to ratchet to. And we tried that, and we actually collapsed the main on a couple of them. So we do what we can to address that. Just wanted to clarify that.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, I know the future will hold a lot more conversations about what and where and the fixes and the projects. Very good questions, but all this is great because if you leave this meeting with anything, it's like you have these problems. They kind of look like this. And the team has done a really good job of prioritizing those for the ones and monitoring, inspecting those, doing whatever they can to sort of stave those off until we're ready to do them. And so, of course,
do you have any flush-free zones, Andy?
I believe
I'm not talking about your toilet flush. I'm talking about
we do. Yeah. We have a couple zones that we've elected to. For example, that center pitcher, that's aggregate showing through the concrete. And it'll get, that's another sign of, hey, we got to back off from the jetting. And we had a root issue there. Megan will review the tapes, come up with a, we need to pump this down to a yearly, possibly, or a biannually, or whatever. But that's part of that staff determination.
Sorry.
No, not at all. I'd rather it be a conversation than, yeah. So please jump in anytime. But we're going to sort of move on. Just a quick, you know, a lot has been happening already. There's no pump station. Here's just a list of some of the things. We're sort of chasing the logical progression of things, trying to do the projects that, you know, have to be done with the resources we have. Snow pump station was a big one. There's other pump stations that need addressed. And as you know, you sort of get a handle on this. The siphon is obviously the biggest one. That's a really big deal if that gets done. And there's been some time on planning, and this is, you know, the SDCs, and that's capital improvement planning. It's part of the SDC work. Civil West put together a capital project list, and we took that, and now we're using it in grade study. Eventually, this is going to go back into the wastewater master plan update, which more has a 20-year look. So there's a lot of work going on. Next, I want to show you, Andy and I and the gang kind of did a survey. We went and took some drone footage. I think we think it's really helpful to see what we're talking about. You know, you see lines on a map, and, you know, yeah, we've got a problem. So we went around, took some drone footage. We won't spend a lot of time talking about the details, but now we can come back to these and talk about these later as these start to progress. But we're there on Edgewood. We've got several homes on septic. Lines need replaced. Andy knows more about that than I do at this point, but we got problems there. That's sort of what we're looking at doing. How do we address this? And you sort of reserve, you can kind of imagine what might need to be done, but it's not figured out yet. We just know we have a problem. This is what it is. And then we'll come up during the design process. You look at what are the alternatives to solve this problem, and that's when we come up with
your design. The houses, almost all of those houses, if not all of them, if I remember correctly, they're not in the city. We have an annexation process that is going through now. But as it stands at this moment in time, they're in the county.
Three of them have sold, from what I understand. They, you know, okay. It's interesting. That's 2 years. We're 2 years into that.
Yeah.
We have 1 year to go.
Yeah.
And one of their main reasons for the annexation on that is because of the systems there. Because when they fail, which I think we already had one on Thompson failed, it became a very stinky affair.
Yes. Yep. And, you know, DEQ doesn't really come down necessarily and tell everybody, you have to do this. I've seen failed septic systems go on for decades. And what are you going to do about it, you know? But I think it's a really good idea that the city says, hey, if you're in the city limits, you've got to connect. So this discussion would be, how do we do that? What needs to happen for this? When that does happen, when it is finalized, how do we handle that? So anyway, there's one project. There's just kind of zooming through. Here's the siphon, and you can see you're all probably quite familiar with it, but the little dash line here is the existing one roughly, and then this is where the new one will roughly go, from a manhole on the far side and to get all the way into the river. And you can imagine if this failed and there's no way to get it across the river out, that would not be good. Kind of looking from the other side, from the wastewater side back, it's a significant challenge. Huge consequences if it doesn't go right. Of course, the wastewater plant, very nice looking facility. It was good to see it during this process. And very well maintained, but it's going to need, you don't know what, at some point, for DEQ, there'll be a process with the facilities planning, what are the discharge limits, all that stuff will happen. You know, maybe we're talking several years out, but it will happen eventually. And I don't know what those upgrades will be. That process will figure that out, but it's probably going to be expensive. And so we want to keep that on mind, and it's good to see it. You know, oh, what is it? Looks like an industrial facility. It is a pretty well-maintained facility. At some point, it's going to need a big fix, and that's going to cost a lot of money.
Saving grace because we're only on the hook for half of it.
Yes.
Can you go back to that slide for just a second, Steve? Chris, can you point out which one of those digesters of the two on the picture there, ones that failed?
So the upper left structure, yeah, both those two round structures are the digesters. That building in the middle is the control building for both of those structures. It is the one on the left that we're looking at rehabbing that dome, and then the building itself needs basically gutted and gone through as well. Because of the hydrogen sulfide, I mean, it's not nearly as bad as the pipes, but the same sort of thing happens because of that Sorry. Building's concrete.
The other digester we did in 2017 as a result of the same situation. We had a failing internal structure and we rehabbed it in 17.
Is there a better material to build those out of other than concrete?
There's several different ways to build an anaerobic digester. I think they all have their pros and cons. So they get lined, and the lining is supposed to be impervious, but then once that gas gets through the liner in any little spot, that's kind of the beginning of the end.
So anyway, we don't want to forget about the other side of the river. And then, you know, all these are on the map as well, but, you know, this line probably means a good candidate for bursting. There's not really anywhere else for it to go. It's right on the fence line there. You can see that goes all the way down to the far side there in Highway 42. I'll show a couple more images. It's a lot of sewer line.
Is that this entire line out to, like, near the high school need to be replaced, too? Across the bridge and everything?
Yes.
That'll be fun, huh? And we have to bore under the bridge then instead of using the hangers?
That's what I
mean. No. There wouldn't be any reason to do that necessarily. And didn't we replace that section when they worked on the bridge?
They replaced the hangers.
Oh, just the hangers. Okay, so we probably would go right back there. Depends on size of the pipe. So the weight of the pipe on the bridge, all those types of things would come into consideration. But
good segue. There's the line down to Snow Pump Station, looking to the east, and then to the west, there's up Abraham Avenue, and then all the way down to the school bridge being right here. So hopefully we can hang it, because that would not be good. They just see very big dollar signs.
Very expensive guy to talk to.
Tell me about it.
So just quickly on that, council recalls that ditch one off Abraham. That's where we had that, our AC pipe was exposed. And that, as we all know, stormwater is very, creates a lot of erosion. So we have to, this is not one of these projects, by the way, that we'd like to talk about. This has to happen here sooner than later, because the detriment to the environment and the costs. So this is serious stuff down there on that ditch line.
So, excuse me, where are we with those loan documents for that money, for that project and the siphon? Are we at a place where we can run with this, or we need to wait a little bit longer?
Sure, yeah. Thank you, Mayor. So we have something on the agenda this evening. It's a resolution for an estimate of work to move forward with the environmental aspects or review. Those are estimated to take around 4 months to jump through all the hurdles of state and federal authorities. It's not anticipated to require a biological study. We should be able to get through everything just prior to that. That's our last big hurdle before qualifying to sign loan documents.
So we're still a year away then, is what you're trying to tell me?
No, we're not a year away. We're probably more in the 4 to 6 month range.
Before we can start the project?
Before we can sign loan documents to construction loan documents, so we can receive the funding and move forward with the bidding process.
How far would you say the design is on the siphon?
We're looking pretty good on the design. Mm-hmm. We just got notification, what was that, last week from DEQ. They had a couple questions on the minimum velocity, and we just got the okay from them that they accepted our design.
This siphon is what, three lines or two?
Three.
Three.
Upsizing from currently, yeah. So one of the things DEQ is that, you know, we have minimum velocities they want to reach for flushing and things, but that is such a dynamic type of setup out there. So DEQ wanted to make sure the city's aware of that, and we are, because that's where we're going to have the big launch. That's where we're going to be maintaining that one. And Chris knows when we get those big gully washes we get, it directly hits him with all the fallout from the solids and whatever the grit and whatnot. So.
Thank you.
Yeah. And there's just one other example of a line, you know, between some houses and some terrible conditions. Just terracotta, I don't believe in there, and I don't think Megan's been even able to get in there and look at it. And so, not an easement, and so it's just one more example of how do we know there's an issue, how do we solve it, we'll figure that out, but it's definitely a problem. No one knows how much of a problem is, haven't been able to get in there and look at it yet.
Cross street for you as well.
Yeah, we got about 30 minutes away. That we can get our camera up to look at it. We have no way to access it from the other end.
Mayor, if I may, this is one of the lines that it's obviously old enough that we don't really know what people were thinking when they platted the subdivision, because it's in a location that we don't really have access, and there's no legal documents that give us access by virtue of an easement. So in addition to the age of the pipe and the condition, there's access issues on top of that. So this is just kind of a litany of issues, especially if that one fails.
We had a conversation with any of those people that might make it easier in the future to move forward with that? Or?
But we have not approached the property owners. We're excited to just kind of get this on the rate study and get it as part of our purview in the future. And if we need to do a mailing or a door knocking campaign, then we're of course willing to do that, and typically people aren't going to have an issue. I mean, especially if it affects them in that regard, they probably don't want that thing failing in their backyard.
Not that we want to mention the word eminent domain, but that covers it, doesn't it?
There's a, if I may, Your Honor, there's a couple of legal statutes that cover this, where you have a utility existing for a long period of time. It actually, legally speaking, creates it's an easement for that line, but it's just for its current existence. It's not for the replacement and expansion of it. That's where the problem runs in. So in situations like this, we'll have to look at, do we have to reroute that pipe to an area where we can actually access it from the street fronts? So all of those kind of analysis are yet to be done on these lines at this time.
Yeah, it gets a little easier than eminent domain. Typically, we can file for injunctive relief because of prescriptive rights, because of the age of the sewer line and how long it's been there. So it's a little easier for us than going for condemnation.
Thank you.
So, not at all. On many of these, really, we're not necessarily proposing a solution on a lot of these things. We're identifying that there is a problem, and then we say, Annie and I talked about it a little bit when we were driving around. Like, there's several things you could do. So the next step would be, you know, invest a little bit of time, come up with some design alternatives. You know, one of them could be maybe they need their own pumping system. Maybe they need to handle their own lateral up to the main uphill. There's other solutions too, but I tend to reserve judgment on that until you really decide to look at it. Let's come up with some alternatives, figure out the best solution. So all these will follow a process like that eventually. So now to the good stuff. So far we sort of built the why. What's the problem? Kind of building a framework around this whole topic with the goal of getting us a 5-year plan that's actionable. And so this sort of just lays out what we did. We started by looking at audited financials back a few years just to really understand how the dollars have flown in the past. And then the team, through several iterations, including the city's 5-year outlook, you already had a 5-year outlook, sort of build this financial model. I can show you what that looks like. I have a big printout here. I'll show you some snapshots of it. But essentially, it's a model you can sort of play with, like a little sandbox, and adjust numbers and see what that does. So we built this financial model. A big input to that, obviously, is capital projects. That's what we spent most of the time talking about today. We've got a lot to do in the city. What is the right way to do that? We picked projects in the capital list that have to get touched in the next 5 years, and then kind of put off those ones that we probably won't get to in the next 5 years. And then we iterated this plan, several collaborative working sessions. Chris joined us on several of those. And then we got to the, where we started looking to the future. How much is labor going to go up? How much, which projects have to be done? How much does this cost over time? Not just what's the dollar amount, but when are we actually going to get to those projects? We have limited team capacity. We have limited time. So what we wanted to do is not overwhelm the team and sort of like measure progress. And then for the items like the last project we just looked at, we don't really know what we're going to do there yet. We have no idea what it's going to cost. So there's several items, and you'll see it in the model. Let's enable ourselves to know what we're going to do, and then how much is that going to cost, and then get ready to get money. So that's sort of the theme, the underlying theme, kind of get an engine going with the capital plan and setting those things we know we're gonna touch. This lays out some of the key objectives, not to bore you with more words, but numbers start to tell a story, and Andy and the gang were pretty patient, but you get through it enough and you finally get to where, like, I think that's everything. These themes start to emerge, and we'll start talking about what some of those mean. So I'm showing you this not to overwhelm you. This is our capital improvement sandbox. This is what we used as a team, where we have the past, and then we have the future, and we have projects by name. We added some projects even at the big printout if you want to come and see what those are. You saw those on the map, so this is related to the map. The red items are actually, I should have probably changed that, but the red ones are the ones we know we're going to touch. Those are the ones that are in bold on the map. I should probably change that to make sure red is red. But anyway, the red ones are the ones we're going to touch, and you'll notice as you kind of go out, whenever you see a gray box, those are items that we know that's going to take design or to inform what we're actually going to do. We know those are problems, but we don't know what we're going to do yet or how much it's necessarily going to cost. And then the blue boxes out there, we know construction is going to happen at some point. A couple of key themes. We wanted to keep the total dollar amount, sort of dollars being work. Like, even, we don't have big spikes where we've got ton of work to do in 1 year and nothing the next year. We want to sort of flatten that out to make it not overwhelming to the group. And so we feel like we've made an achievable plan by exercising this model. A couple things to note, I'll bring this up again. We talked about debt service earlier. We have the current debt service for the previous wastewater plant. There's the new debt service that's going to be from DEQ, the siphon. You'll see those debt service amounts. And then I sort of have this built into the model, and we're assuming right now there's going to be another one of those loan things sometime. And I'm just showing it. I just want you to be aware. It's sort of like right here. We know we need to. We don't know what we're going to build with that money. It's probably going to be needed, and it's not. It's to be determined which projects those are going to be. But that's been built into the assumption. That debt service I am showing in the model. So we're sort of accounting for this future thing happening in the model. So anyway, this is your sewer fund. And I don't even care so much that you know these numbers are really what it's saying. This is really just, here's all of the expenses we know are going to happen, built just like your budgets are built now. When I look at this, there's some key things that I think are really great. You got a bunch of ARPA money, which was really good. You got some loan forgiveness here in the past, which is really good. And then you're going to have this $4 million loan with $2 million forgiveness. So there's some funding coming in down here. And there again is that future loan. Here is the one you're just about to get. So good on the funding side. I mean, feeling pretty good on the funding side. What we're really trying to answer, and here you've got your personnel services, materials and services, your normal budget things. The rate study is trying to answer this blue bar, and that's really, what do the rates need to be to support this plan that we also laid out? That's sort of like where we're headed.
So is the $4 million, is that the siphon project? Is that why that's so high there?
Mm-hmm. That's the loan.
Yeah.
And so in a way, in this study, that money comes in and then it magically disappears. It's spent on projects. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much the siphon's actually going to cost. The bidding process will determine that. And I think you're trying to get some additional work done as part of that funding,
That project includes both the Abraham line as well as the siphon.
Yeah.
One of the things you've got to bear in mind in this study is that when we talk about debt service, it's no different than when you go get a loan. You have many years of payment back on that debt service. So we're looking at 20, 30-year time frames to pay these debts back. So as Sean indicated, this work is what it would cost us if we don't get any grant dollars at all in the future. And so we just cover it with rates. And we would hope that we'll find that some grant money along the way to help ease some of this over the long term. But at the end of this 5 years, you're going to be paying debt service on loans for the work that you do in this 5 years for the next 20, 30 years. And then you're looking at the next 5 years down the road and what needs to be done. So this is kind of a jumping off point, so to speak, to start this process in order to ensure that when you flush your systems at home, that it goes away.
Yep, there are different approaches. There, some cities take an approach of, we don't want any debt at all, which can be really, really challenging if you've got problems you have to deal with. What's the right mix of loan and through rates? That really is sort of what we all need help with, figuring out what to do. And that second $4 million that I mentioned, it's really, that's not committed to. It's just as we work through this as a project team, we know those projects, remember the blue boxes that are sitting out on the map there? There are going to be some projects, and there's probably going to be more than $4 million. Let's just show it in the model. And we're going to get ready with some of these preparatory steps and understanding what the solutions are. And that's something you don't have to decide yet, but that is what we're sort of showing in the model now. And that money sort of comes in and disappears again, and as far as budget world is concerned. But in reality, you're going to spend a little bit of time up front. You're going to pick a group of projects that you know are the hottest items, and you're going to work on those. You're going to figure out how much they cost, and then that could be a loan.
Were we to do nothing as far as planning ahead, just wait for failures to occur, then you go begging to DEQ, EPA, or whoever happens to do it, and they will gladly come in and make those financial arrangements for you to fix that stuff. But then you'll be saddled with whatever they determine the rate is going to be. If we get in front of it, we can determine what the rate's going to be. For them to do it, it's going to be grossly expensive. It's not going to be cheap if we can do it, but it's...
Yep. And it's hard to act fast and paying emergency costs. And, yeah, this proactive stance versus getting off your heels is kind of a recurring theme. We'll keep talking about that. What are the ones we need to look at next to get ahead of? You definitely don't want DEQ up in your... in your business, you really want to be handling it. If they come in and they say, yeah, we'll give you money, they're also going to say, where are you coming up with a 50% match? And you say, we don't have it. So that's another...
We'll take care of that for you, too.
Yeah, that's right. We'll give you a 100% loan. And so we want to avoid some of those. We're trying to get into a stance with this plan to sort of get on the right footing with something that looks like even similar to this moving forward. It'll take you probably a year or two to really just get moving towards feeling like it should be moving. You're already sort of doing that, but now you have some money backing up some of this process. It'll start to feel a little bit better. DEQ gets involved, they're going to be like, nice work. You guys are doing a lot with what you have. That's a lot better than something failed. Oh, the bypass pumping running here 24 hours a day until we've solved it. So, not to be catastrophic, that could happen. It hasn't happened before, probably.
Andy. Oak Street.
Where you had a problem, so we got to go spend all the money.
Sometimes it does.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we had the funding to cover that, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. We did. But again, that's one of those situations, and that was on the line that carries the pressure sewage from the snow lift station. Away to the next lift station that's pushing it to the siphon. So, but you saw under that situation, we had to run a duplicate system on top of the ground in order to replace that system and keep everybody's systems working.
And that was only about a block, wasn't it? A block and a half, maybe? That was about $140,000.
Right.
Just for one block. It's so expensive.
So real quick, time check. We have a few slides that are pretty important. I want to hit those. And anyway, I want you to see the numbers. No, yeah, they're numbers, but there is a theme in here that we're trying to portray. This is the fun one. A recent survey of similar communities. You want to probably spend some time thinking about this. This is where we really start to need your help on what to do and how we're going to get from where we are today to wherever we need to go. Just similar communities. One that jumped out to me is actually Tri-City Sanitary. A little bit smaller in size, but and they're not a full city, but they do wastewater collections and water. You probably know it well. They do regional treatment, so it's very similar in just configurations. They're doing the same kind of problems. And on their wastewater side, you can see where they are. I sort of rank these by, you can store this however you like. I did show water in here as well, just because I think it's good for people. I pay water and sewer. Some cities do both, some don't. That would be sort of what someone who uses 4,000 gallons a month, kind of normalize that just so you could see what it looks like. But it is what it is. Not everybody's the same, but it's just information. That would tell me your rates are probably low. Just if I'm an outsider and I saw these numbers, I'd be like, it's probably low, but you know, and you take it how you will, but it is a data point on, should we be fitting in here somewhere? It is data. It's not perfect data, but it just gives you some kind of things like taking a temperature. I'm not gonna spend any time on that, or not much time on this, but the revenue, really at the end of the day, your money is gonna either come from an increase in rates or it's going to come from some loan or some kind of grant. We want to get ready for all those kinds of funding. But after all the analysis we've done, all the expenses that we laid out, the capital projects, those roll up to how much money you need. And that's the green bar sort of right here. And this is just, that's why we're here, is to just start talking about where we need to be with rates. And this is the roll up of all those things over time. And we're going to talk about what those rates would need to be. And I just want you to remember, this is our team sort of laying out this sort of dream plan of what we really want to do, what we really need to do over the next 5 years. And that's sort of like, I feel like that's like the bookend, the upper bookend on what we could do that's achievable. We couldn't do much more work than that, actually, if you think about team resources, availability, all the above. We need to raise the rates, how much? So we sort of laid out, I think, the upper bookend, in my view, is sort of this upper bookend.
What's the rate that you just showed up there?
I don't
know. What is right almost in the middle of
it's like the Tri-City. Right. It's like the Tri-City. And I put that number in because I had to put a number in. That number makes the math work out to where that plan that we sort of laid out, it works. If I'm an outsider and someone said, hey, can you look at this? What do you think? I'm like, that sounds about right. The Tri-City-ish number is probably where you should be. And remembering this is like, we're looking at annual chunks, money comes in and disappears. This is the financial world. But it is going to become real. And you can see that here. I laid this slide out. That green box is the one that we all have to decide. And we can't do that on our own. We can tell you where the numbers and the plan that we laid out, it's sort of in that area, in that zone, about like 60, 65. But then there's these other things. And so people are going to say, well, what's my bill going to be? And it depends. But this is what people are paying now. This is the old rates. This is with the $5 increase. And we need to figure out, I'm showing one box, but this could be phased approach as well. And we'll talk about that here in just a second. Is how do you, what's going to be your target rate at some point? How do you get there? Is it a ramp? Is it pull the Band-Aid off? And at the end of the day, wherever that process leads, the team's going to take that information back and go loop this plan again to see, okay, there's going to be some triage and there's going to be more discussion. And so you can kind of see we got to the point where we're like, we need help. Now we need help to talk about what's going to happen and how we do it. And so there's going to be some, I think everybody should sleep on it. honestly, this is one of those things you sleep on, and there's a lot of information here. And as I kind of get to the end here, what are the recommendations? I think the rates need to go up. They need to go up probably significantly. You already did five, and that's great. Remembering that for about every $5 in rate increase, you get about $120K. Putting that in perspective, debt service for $2 million is about 90K per year. You say, okay, well, that's it's not nothing, it's something, that's good. We also have a $200,000 PLC upgrade, well, $400,000 PLC upgrade at the wastewater plant that's got to get paid for next year. So we think, how big is that project? And you say, you'd have to probably have to raise your rate $7 or $8 to just pay for that out of rates. And so the rates do help, but they're not the total answer. It is some combination of rates and debt service. And so that's really where we're needing to have a deeper conversation and to have your guidance on where to go. There's a lot of ways to do that. You can ramp it. We can talk more about that, but you've probably all been through this. So there are way different ways to get there. And wherever it is the team will do whatever it can with the resources it has.
So just to give you a couple of examples, if we jump straight to $65, that would fund that 5-year capital program. But there's work to be done before we actually start putting pipes in the ground. We've got preliminary engineering work, we've got final design plans, all of that type of bidding. So it will take some time to get this whole ball rolling, so to speak. So if you decided, okay, well, we're going to attack that $65 in a 3-year period and take it in incremental chunks over that 3 years, you basically would be a little bit behind the eight ball on the projects until you get to that point in order to fund what you need to get done. So work will continue to happen. We'll be doing that preliminary engineering work that's necessary to get these new systems in the ground, the design work. So you have some flexibility. It's a matter of how you want to approach that.
Well, that's the good news. Any questions?
I would like a copy of that one rate. It's not in my...
Oh. Is it on the back page, potentially? Oh, I've got another set right here.
Yeah.
So any more questions for Sam?
Thank you
very much. I appreciate your work on this.
That's enough. We're here to help. And so I think maybe the next step for me would be, what do we do next? And I think even just some initial feedback on what all of you think we should do. We could iterate this plan one more time around that and say, well, we start running a few scenarios. We could say, well, what happens if this and what happens if that? And we could have another session and maybe talk about those. That's something that would be pretty easy. Maybe that's the next thing to do. It's actually good timing because of all of the budgetary things that are happening right now. And so I don't want to get outside my lane, but now's a good time. What are we going to do next year and allocating some funding for that? So I'm happy to help. Let me know when you like to meet again. We can
appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Conclusion of City Council workshop.